God's word is Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 39. This is the reading of God's word. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came into the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. In a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And Father, through your word, let us meet our Lord Jesus Christ, and let us have fellowship with him, and let us also see through your word what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Bless us, let your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only understand but believe, but also obey your word. Receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we have seen, there are four praises in Luke chapters 1 and 2. Mary's praise, we saw that, called Magnificat. Zechariah's praise, called Benedictus. The angels, their praise, we call it Gloria. And the fourth one, which we are looking at today, Simeon's praise, this one is called Nunc Dimittis. As you know, there was the praise of the angels at the first creation. Just like it, as we have praises, just like it, we have praises of the angels and the people of God who are recreated in Jesus Christ's image at the new creation. And that is why we see so many praises in chapters 1 and 2, because that's the beginning of the new creation. Let us look at it from Luke chapter 2, verse 25 today. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon, there are not too many things that are told of him in the Bible. He lives in Jerusalem and he is righteous and devout. Now him being righteous and devout makes him do what according to our verse? He looks for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he lives his life in terms of looking for the Messiah to come. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 1 and 2, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her, and her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Well, when is the time for the consolation of God? Well, it is when God's people's iniquity is removed, according to that Isaiah chapter 40. And in verse 36 of today's passage, we meet Anna. The Bible tells us that she never left the temple. And she served night and day with fasting and prayer. And in verse 38, she was one of those who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The time of the redemption of Jerusalem is the time of the consolation of Israel. And in Luke chapter 23, we meet another righteous person. 23 verse 50, a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man. He had not consented to their plan and action. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. So he was waiting for the kingdom of God. And we saw two other people looking for the consolation of Israel, looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. All these phrases are referring to the same time in the redemptive history of God. All are referring to the same thing. It is when all the promises of God are fulfilled. It is when the Messiah comes. It is when the kingdom of God comes. These righteous people are waiting for the kingdom of God, just like us, waiting for heaven to be revealed to us. Waiting for heaven to come. They live their lives by faith. Well, we'll going to look at this in more detail next Lord's Day. If you're a righteous person, what you do. If you're a true Christian, what you do. You already know the answer, but I will say a lot more than just these phrases. Now, going back to verse 25, "And the Holy Spirit was upon him." The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. Luke chapter 1 and 2 records of many activities of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, he was filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Mary, the Holy Spirit came upon her and the power of the Most High overshadowed her. Elizabeth, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now today, Simeon, we see that the Holy Spirit is upon him. All these things point to the reality of the new creation. It is the same as Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was moving over the surface of the water. So the Holy Spirit is moving. And he is recreating the new creation. That's the point. We move on to verse 26. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God." Simeon, he has received a promise from the Holy Spirit that he will not die until he sees the Christ. And that promise of God is being fulfilled in our passage. The Holy Spirit leads him to the temple. We saw that the last time Mary and Joseph brought Jesus Christ to the temple to present him to God. At the same time, they meet Simeon in the temple. All according to God's plan. Simeon took Jesus into his arms and blessed God. And that is the Simeon's praise right there. Luke chapter 2 verse 29. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This old man receives Jesus into his arm and he praises our God. Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. What is he saying? He's saying, Lord, now I could die. Why? Because Simeon has seen the Lord, Jesus Christ. To see Jesus Christ is to see the salvation of God. He is not saying that because he has lived a long life that he could die now. No, he is not saying that because he has accomplished a great thing in his life that he could die now. We hear from some people in this world, after they have done some great things, they say that they could die now that they have accomplished these great things. My question to you is, what must happen in your life that you could say the same thing yourself? That you could say, now I could die. What has to happen in your life for you to say that? Remember what Simeon said. He said he could die now because he saw Jesus Christ. Simeon. That was his purpose. To see the salvation of God. Because he has seen the salvation of God. This salvation of God, verse 31, which you, God, have prepared in the presence of all peoples. The new creation is not just for the Jews. It is for all peoples, like it says. It is for all, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9b, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Thus in verse 32, we see both the Gentiles and Israel. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. God has prepared. This salvation of God was plan of God even before the creation. The plan of God that God had already shown to his people even in the Old Testament. And it always included Gentiles. That light of revelation to the Gentiles, that light is the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 49 verse 6. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And the glory of your people Israel. Simeon sees the reality of God's eternal salvation. Luke chapter 2 verse 33, and his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. This verse does not tell us clearly why his father and mother were amazed. Perhaps as they hear that the salvation of God now includes Gentiles. Luke chapter 2 verse 34 and 35, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The first half of these verses, the first half of the verse 35, refers to what will happen to Mary. All the rest that I read to you right now refers to what would happen in general. These things will happen due to Jesus Christ. The fall and the rise of many in Israel. Because of Jesus Christ, there will be a division. Some will fall and some will rise. The fall and rise are not referring to the success or the failure of this world, but they refer to the eternal division. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, for this is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this become the very stone cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. Those who believe in Jesus Christ will never be disappointed. But for those who do not believe, Jesus is a stone of stumbling block and a rock of offense. They will stumble, they will fall. Luke chapter 12, verse 51 and 52. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. When it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no neutral stance. Luke chapter 11, verse 23, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Some people out there might say, I do not gather, but I also do not scatter. But Jesus will not allow that. If you do not gather with him, then you do scatter, even if you think you are not. There's no neutral stance when it comes to Jesus. Because of Jesus, family will be divided. They will become enemies because of Jesus. And going back to verse 35, to the end that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. All the masks will be off on that day when Jesus Christ comes. You could pretend all you want, but everything will be revealed. And to Mary, and a sword will pierce even your own soul because of Jesus' suffering and his death on the cross. Mary will suffer this. Now from verse 36, we meet Anna, another person in our passage. Verse 36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna. In Hebrew, It's Hannah. Well, in English, we say Hannah. It means grace. So Hannah is grace. She is a prophetess. She brings God's word. She is advanced in years, meaning she's old. She was married for 7 years, but then as a widow to the age of 84. It is not clear whether she is 84 years old at this time, or that it has been 84 years since she became a widow. We will never figure that out. But she's old. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayer. She was also at the temple at the time, same time, when Simeon met Jesus Christ. She also meets the Lord. And she gives thanks to God and continued to speak of Jesus Christ to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And from this point on, in the book of Luke, Simeon and Anna just disappears. You will not hear about them again. Now, what are we looking at in these two people? Simeon and Anna, both witness concerning Jesus Christ. We are reminded of Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15b, on the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. These two who are testifying about Jesus Christ, they are practically nobodies in this world. Simeon lived in Jerusalem. We do not have anything more than about him. Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. A Phanuel in Genesis 32, Jacob wrestles God in Penuel. Both words meaning face of God. Verse 36 tells us that Phanuel is the tribe of Asher, Asher. Asher means very happy. He is one of the 12 sons of Jacob, the one of the northern tribe that has been disappeared at the time of Jesus Christ. We do not know how the line of Asher came down to Anna. And when we think about the tribe that Anna is from, it kind of forces us to also think about the tribe that Simeon is of. So we're kind of forced to think about the tribe of Simeon, and we could see this person, Simeon, as the representative of that tribe of Simeon. According to Genesis 29, verse 33, Simeon is the second son of Leah. And in Genesis 49, Jacob prophesies concerning his sons, and he says this of Simeon, I will scatter them in Israel. Reason? Genesis 49, verse 6, because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. In Genesis 34, when Leah's daughter, Dinah, is raped by Shechem, it is Simeon and Levi who went there and killed everybody. The tribe of Simeon, according to Joshua chapter 19, verse 9, an inheritance of the sons of Simeon was taken from the portion of the sons of Judah. For the share of the sons of Judah was too large for them. So the sons of Simeon received an inheritance in the midst of Judah's inheritance. Meaning that the tribe of Simeon is absorbed into the tribe of Judah. They disappear. So in other words, the future of the tribe of Simeon is dependent upon the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Simeon actually disappears, like I said. But being absorbed into the tribe of Judah, they received a greater blessings. Because Jesus is born through the tribe of Judah. Perhaps our Simeon in Luke chapter 2, as a representative of the whole tribe of Simeon, receives Jesus Christ. Both Simeon and Anna are the remnants. Their whole lives are lived in terms of waiting for the Messiah, waiting for Jesus Christ. And just imagine what people were saying about these two figures. Just like if you live waiting for Jesus Christ to come back, that your whole life is in terms of waiting for the Messiah to come back. Can you think of what people might say of you? As we see Simeon as the representative of the tribe of Simeon, we are reminded of God's word through the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "More than that, I count things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." Willing to lose all things to gain Christ. Willing to count all things rubbish to gain Christ. Simeon, even his whole tribe is disappeared. It's gone. Nobody remembers. But he received Jesus Christ. And we dare not say that Simeon's life is worthless. Up until this old age, what did he do? Not much. This is the life of the true Christian, which is Simeon represents. The world tells you what is important in your life. You should not listen to it. Listen to the Bible. God says that Simeon and Anna, they're righteous people. And let's come back to that as a conclusion, but let's finish this section. Verse 39, we only have one more verse to go. "When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth." So as you could see, Jesus Christ, even from his birth, he obeys God's law perfectly. We saw this from Luke chapter 2, verse 21. We find the word law 5 times from Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Anna is a prophetess. Even Simeon, plays the role of a prophet because he tells what will happen to, because of Christ, what will happen. So then, we could even call Simeon a prophet. Thus, we see both the law and the prophet in our passage. All that the law and the prophet wants to say can be summarized in this person, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24 tells us that the law of Moses and all the prophets are about the things concerning Jesus Christ. They are all about Jesus Christ. The old Simeon holds Jesus, who are 40 days old, and he praises God. Look at that picture. Simeon, holding Jesus in his arms. The old and the new. The old is passing away, and the new has come. Simeon disappears, and only Jesus remains in the book of Luke. People saw Simeon holding Jesus, but in actuality, Jesus is holding Simeon. These two people, Simeon and Anna, both, even though they lived a righteous life, until they saw Jesus, until they see Jesus, there was no true satisfaction in their lives. But they are now completely satisfied. They could truly die right there without any regrets. Throughout their lives, they eagerly waited for Jesus Christ. And based on what we are told, that's the only thing they did. They eagerly wait for Jesus Christ. I don't think they have accomplished great things according to the world in their lives. Well, Anna did not even depart from the temple. She was there day and night, serving the Lord, waiting for the Messiah. Maybe you're not doing that great in this world. Maybe you did not come out from great college. Maybe you don't even have a great job. But you eagerly wait for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come back to you. Your life is not worthless. Don't ever tell anybody tell you that. Well, just because you had to be successful out there, then your life is worth something? Is that what the Bible says? Change your thinking. Go to the Bible and think like the Bible. Do not listen to the world. I don't know how long I will be preaching to you. But until I go home, no matter what circumstances that you are in out there, how much you are not successful, how much you are not popular, how much you are considered waste of life out there, this church will not see you, will not see you like that. You just wait for the Lord, because you understand when Jesus comes back, everything will be okay. Everything will be successful according to God's will. And when you eagerly wait for Jesus Christ, that is precious life. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Do not let this world judge you according to their standards. We don't care. But you are judged by God. And even though you are nobody in this world, but you eagerly wait for Jesus Christ, that you live your life in terms of waiting for Him. Because your only hope, you understand and you believe that your only hope is Jesus Christ. Then your life is precious. Don't judge yourself according to the standard of this world. At least at this church, let us never do that. Even if you come and says, Pastor, I don't even have any money to give. But I know everything will be okay when Jesus returns. Man, just be honest. Just by hearing that, it sounds so pathetic, no? Is it pathetic? Is it pathetic to God? Or to you? And to this world? Do not judge anyone according to the standard of this world, this church should never allow that. You are precious to me because you eagerly wait for the Messiah. Not because you make money, not because you have great house, great car, great job. None of that. It's all about Jesus Christ. And if you loved Him more than any successful people out there, then your life is worth more. Simeon and Anna. The world will never understand this kind of life. The world will mock this kind of life. According to this sinful world, Simeon and Anna, they did absolutely nothing in this world. What a useless life, the world will say. But to Simeon and Anna and to us, Jesus Christ is everything. Jesus Christ is absolutely everything to us. And just like Simeon, we have already received Jesus Christ. We hold Him in our arms. No, rather, He holds us in His arms. And through the Word of God, we have seen Jesus Christ who bore our sins and died for us. We have seen Jesus Christ who had been resurrected from the dead. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are able to say even more certainly than Simeon, verse 30, for my eyes have seen God's salvation, complete and perfect salvation. Yes, we could die right now without any regret. What would make you or your life more precious than how it is now in Jesus Christ? What do you need to accomplish that God would say, now your life is worthy? What? What has to happen in your life? That now, after that happened, we say, whoa, your life is precious. Brothers and sisters in Christ, your value is in Christ. Jesus Christ is your value. Am I saying just be lazy out there? Am I saying just stay home and do nothing? No. Do all you have to do out there. But remember at the end, those things are nothing. That Jesus is everything. And if you lose that, oh, then you lose everything. It's okay if you're not successful out there. 100% okay if you hold Jesus Christ. And in this church, that's precious. Jesus. It's okay. I'd rather you seek the life that God will be pleased with. Brothers and sisters, life is not about having this or having that. Life is about Christ. And brothers and sisters, I really pray that just like Simeon, that you are able, even though you're young and you didn't do much in this life, that you are able, I could die now because I have seen through the Word, Jesus Christ, I have seen the salvation of my God. I truly pray that you are able to say that. Just based on what Christ has done, you could say, I could die now. Because whatever you might do in the future as you live longer will not surpass what Christ has done for you. But until He calls you, don't die. Live. And do everything for His glory. His glory. That's what Christian life is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are our God. And we thank You that we are Your people. And we thank You that our value is in Jesus Christ. That it is not about us. It is not what I do or what I say or do or accomplish. But it's all about Jesus Christ. What He has done. What He has accomplished for us. So we boast. We go out and we boast. Boast about our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we boast of what He has done, what He has accomplished. Jesus is our boast. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.